is a joke. I mean, you just do an online computer course and you sit through a 1 hour class once a year. Nobody is really taking this training seriously. So, I mean, that really has to change.
Mary Gallagher, she's a technical sergeant in the Air National Guard. She's one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against the Pentagon. Turning to you, Anu Bhagwati, of the military women you speak to, are Mary's and Rebecca's experiences common?
They are common in the sense that they've been terrorized by their perpetrators, and they obviously didn't feel safe enough in filing an unrestricted report, which would have triggered an investigation. The main difference here with military culture is that service members have very limited legal redress. They know that perpetrators are not likely to be prosecuted or not likely to see the inside of a courtroom, that most are likely to get off with a slap on the wrist. They also know that their fellow service members and their chain of command are likely to intimidate them, discourage them from speaking out, accuse them of lying, in fact, punish and retaliate against them for coming forward. So, as Rebecca indicated, what's the use of just having your information filed away in a database and the perpetrator literally just being allowed to run free and prey upon the next victim.
Anna Bhagwati, she's Executive Director of the Service Women's Action Network. She's a Marine Corps veteran, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. I wonder, Susan Burke, if you can explain the difference between restricted reporting and unrestricted reporting.
Yes, this is essentially a unique military creation that has again been a misdirected effort. That rather than tackling the omnipresent retaliation that occurs, they created an avenue for those who have been raped and sexually assaulted to report on a completely confidential basis. And there's not much, there's nothing that comes of it. The problem is that even there, even though that confidentiality is supposed to encourage more and more survivors to come forward in order to access the healthcare treatment that's available to them, the reality is that it often leaks out and they and the survivors end up enduring the very retaliation that they sought to avoid by going the restricted reporting route. So there's serious issues of the focus of the department's efforts. And the unrestricted reporting, which is not used nearly as often as the restricted reporting, is what we would normally think of when a crime occurs.
What about the two men who are part of this lawsuit? Explain what happened to them.
Yes, in both instances, they were harassed and they were violated. One was groped, and then when he went to report it, he became the subject of a pervasive amount of physical abuse against him as he was on the ship. The other gentleman was raped in the barracks, and when he went to report it to his command, they simply laughed at him. So the reality is that this rape and the sexual assault's not limited to females. It is also occurring among the males as well. And again, you have the widespread retaliation, the scorn, the disbelief. In addition, there's the constant statement, well, now you don't don't rock the boat, you're a troublemaker, you don't be reporting on your own. These cultural messages that you really risk your career if you step forward. And most tellingly, one of the survivors who has joined the lawsuit is a woman who was actually a criminal investigative division agent. When she was raped, she opted not to report it because she knew that it would not be taken seriously. It was only after her perpetrator went on for the next 2 years raping additional women did a CID officer hear of what happened to her and come and ask her to come forward. That is a very telling story about what all of these victims of rape and sexual abuse are confronting.
Is there any indication that incidents of abuse are escalating in the military? You heard Kay Whitley say that from her experience,